Is Becky here? How did the missionary update go? Good time? Great. I gave you an outline. I had to hand write it. I've been on vacation, and that was the best I could do. So there's the outline. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in our continuing look at the issue of suffering. Okay? I wondered if anybody else wanted to share something, spiritually speaking, in their life right now. A couple minutes. Want to share anything going on in your life? We'll have time to share during about suffering, but I just wondered if you had something going on. Yes?
Let's do the verse.
Let's do the verse. All right. Yeah. Everybody stand. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. All right? And we're going to be looking at that whole issue here. We read this chapter several weeks ago. It's one of the problems with teaching a class and having breaks and all, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter again, but we're going to look at it verse by verse, some of it today. I had a birthday last Sunday. Oh, thank you. And one of my, is Jewel here? No. One of my pupils from 10 years of teaching another class always sent me a very funny card. Well, she did it this week, too. Sheila Coy. This just in. You're old. That's a real encouragement, you know. And then you open it up. This is not fake news. Isn't that cool? So I gotta get one for her and tease her a little bit. It's pretty good. Also, who went to the, man, I didn't realize, Chris, Becky, were you happy with your missionary thing last week, report? Yeah.
Yes.
Just want to check. You just walked in, kind of shocker, you know. I understand some of you went, I didn't realize these concerts are back, which is good. And you had Chris Tomlin and who's the lady? Lauren Daigle?
Yeah.
You had them both for one night? What was that like?
It was good. It was awesome.
Oh, I'll bet.
That was at Meadowbrook.
At Meadowbrook, wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Fantastic. So these concerts are back now.
Yes, for now.
Did anybody go to the cruise yesterday? How was it?
Good.
Crowded?
Oh, yeah.
Hot.
Hot. Man, it was hot.
Yeah.
Oh, I've pretty well done those many, many years. But not this year. Just got back from Holland. But anyway, let's just pray. Lord, we are going to look at your scripture, and we're going to talk about this issue of suffering, persecution, and things going on in our lives. Continue this story and ask for your blessing on what we're about to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Afghanistan. I did not watch any TV for 7 days. I did not read the Wall Street Journal for 7 days. And I got home, and the whole world had changed in 1 week. But I'd been watching a little bit. But I want to just say something, and I want to pause at the end of this. Afghanistan, 37 million people. To our knowledge, there is not one Christian church building in all of Afghanistan. Okay? 84% of all the illegal drug traffic of opiates comes from Afghanistan. Okay. These evil people,
That's evil.
They're the ones, they grow this stuff and they promote it and sell it all over the world. Okay? According to my reports, there are 228 Christian missionaries in Afghanistan secretly witnessing, much like that young lady there on the right side is going to be doing in another country. Because if it was known they were a Christian, they would be instantly killed. Okay? Especially with these idiots taking over. Now, we have had, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, we have had a pathetic leadership concerning this whole thing. You don't have the troops leave and then say, oh, by the way, we've got 30,000 people we forgot to get out of here, too, who helped us for 20 years. Oh, by the way, we've got Americans here, too. Oh, by the way, the embassy didn't. No, no, no. That's not the way it was negotiated by the Trump team. The idea was all those would come out. The Taliban was not supposed to go one step into any other territory other than the one they were in. And if they wanted to play games, we would blow the four or five bases to smithereens because we're not going to allow to have all our gear. Okay? That all failed this week, in the last few weeks. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Misleadership. So I want to pray for a minute of silence for this group of people that are still there, especially our Christian brothers and sisters, 223 of them right now in Afghanistan. Let's just pause for 30 seconds. Amen. One of the news commentators who's not even a Christian, he has raised $20 million this week. I forget his name. He has raised $20 million this week to get the Christians out of Afghanistan.
Glenn Beck?
Glenn Beck. Not a Christian man, but a good guy. Now, we're talking about the subject, just in case you forgot, walking with God through suffering and pain and persecution. Okay? The subtitle of this is The Glorious One Has Purpose for the Suffering One, you and I. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be trials and things going on in our life. And we've handled so far, number one, that our life is a time of transformation. We looked at that in chapter 3:16 through 4:6. We also looked at the issue of in a life troubled for what matters. There's a lot of trouble. And there's good things that come out of it, okay? And we looked at that in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So today, we want to go to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, and we want to begin looking at two other points. And I gave you that rough outline, forgive me, my printer wouldn't work this morning, you know, when you're on vacation like that. So I had to just write it out and copy it. Number 3, proclaiming him with weakness. We're going to look at that, chapter 4, 7 through 15. And then fourthly, it's all in preparation for the glorious. There's a glorious time coming.
Yes.
And that's found in 4, 16 through 18. Could somebody go get Mike Crucker? Sister, could you, Tracy? Where's Tracy? She's, or somebody. Get Mike Crucker. Could you bring him in right now? Could you ask him to please come in?
No, I'm going to be.
No, he does not know it yet. He doesn't know. Yeah. Just tell him I need him for about 1 minute. I'll tell that story when he gets in. 2 weeks ago Saturday, I was sitting working on this lesson because I wanted to get it done before I went on vacation, okay? And as I was going through this lesson about suffering, Ray Dishman came to my mind right at that moment. Clear as day, Holy Spirit given, I believe. Ray is dying. He's been dying for a year. He's in bad shape, and now, I heard just the other day, he and his wife have COVID. Oh, okay, I'll tell that story in a minute. Brother Crucker?
Yes, sir.
Here is one of the pillars of our assembly, right here. Let's give this man a hand.
I'll see you later.
No, no.
It wasn't for that.
Come here. Joyce Seiler is one. You don't have to come up to the front, but you can. Wherever you want. Joyce Seiler is one of the most beloved sisters in the church, but hasn't been to church in 16 months. And she was in the class I taught and led it in prayer. But anyway, she's an older lady, an elderly lady, a very limited income lady. And we had a flood in St. Clair Shore she lives in. And it looked like $25,000, she thought, of total expense to fix her flooded basement. $25,000. She does not have $25,000. I don't know if you realize, most retirees have less than $2,000 in their savings account. It's hard to believe, but that's true. But anyway, this dear sister called me for prayer. Mike Crocker got involved, brought another man in. He was wonderful. And they concluded it wasn't going to cost one dime. Mike, thank you. It wasn't as bad as thought. Suffering, pain. I mean, it was really bothering our dear sister like you wouldn't believe, okay? And my mind was already clicking. Fellowship fund, fellowship fund. Isn't that what it's there for?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that, seriously. But Mike, thank you.
She's a wonderful,
wonderful
sister. And you call her up sometimes and I pray for you every morning.
Every morning.
Oh, it's great. It's just a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That was an illustration. God just stepped in and solved it.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
So I called Ray Dishman. He's a dying man. He now is in the hospital with COVID. Cancer is just everywhere and anywhere and other issues. This man's not, I don't know, 60, 62 years of age. And here's what Ray said. I call him every week. I try to and pray with him. Here's what he said to me. The Lord never promised there'd be no problems. I am trusting him fully, and I am prepared to be with him at his calling. He's a dying man, let me tell you. It's a serious situation. And Rose Dishman is right there with him, helping him in every way. So that was a good illustration. Anybody else want to share a story of suffering? Persecution. Go ahead, Tracy.
It's not a story, but I
whatever you want. Yes.
I've listened to John MacArthur's series of late that relates to this very topic. It was this whole last week. You can go on his website and look up radio and archive broadcasts. I cannot tell you what an encouragement it was for me to listen to this. The thing that stuck out to me the most is the idea that as we follow Christ and are faithful, and our faith muscles are built, and we capitalize on faith, you know, and walk in it. The Lord, in the face of a trial, is the Spirit takes over, basically.
And amen.
The example of Stephen and what his focus was. His focus was on Christ standing next to the Father. It was not on the imminent stoning that he was going to experience physically. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit took over his mind, body, you know, the whole thing.
Amen.
And I say that because I've heard an Afghanistan story this week where there were some brothers and sisters in Christ over there who said that they could feel our prayers because their faith and resolve to not deny Christ was increasing.
Wow.
I just see that
correlation.
And I just thought to myself, you know what? That is an encouragement.
Amen.
So
if you want, there's some really good teaching on suffering and what have you. It's on John Carthus, gty.org, gracetv.org.
Amen.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, brother.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, just Afghanistan is on your mind.
A little louder.
Afghanistan was having their invasion.
Yeah.
And something else has been in the news this week that maybe also we should be aware of and be praying for is the people of Haiti, where they've just been
one thing after another.
They have a collapsed government.
Yep.
Ineffective. They've got gangs that have taken over, and now they've within the last week and a half or so, they have both a major earthquake and a hurricane.
Yeah.
And so the people there are suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
I think some of the missionaries who have been there have pulled out just because of all of the chaos that's been there. And it's, you know, if you look at a situation like that and say, well, it really seems hopeless, but we know that we have a hope in Christ.
Amen.
And we know that God is still able to reach people, even in situations like what's going on there. This is like Afghanistan.
Yes.
And, you know, he has so much we take for granted here. But there are people that in other parts of the world that know something like we don't.
Yeah, not even a comparison. Thank you. One more.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when I talked about the tower that fell and 18 people were killed, and he says they weren't any more sinners than but you need to repent.
Yes.
That when we see the suffering going on in the world, it's not by accident. God has sent it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read in Revelation, it talks about the ashen horse, those that Christ sent, those that took away peace from the earth, caused violence, caused famine, caused plague. Those are for us to warn people, hey, this is a bad judgment.
Yes.
You need to repent.
Yeah.
Because there is a judgment that you won't be able to repent of.
Yeah.
You'll be cast into hell. So this is a time to repent.
Yes.
Give a warning. Hey, this is a pre-judgment judgment on the world.
Yeah.
That we need to tell people. And it says we're sealed on our foreheads. Hey, we might be killed like the martyrs and stuff like that, but that's victory.
Yeah.
So we need to be speaking the gospel and not be shy about it.
Not be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, our missionary brother, 2 weeks ago I was here, he was spot on when he began the lesson about suffering from James. I thought it was really good. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to start with verse 7, actually, and 8, and then I'm going to comment on it, and then we'll move on. Okay? This is a powerful scripture. Get your seatbelts on. A lot of this is stuff you don't like to hear, but it's the truth of the Word of God. All right, 7 and 8. I'm reading out of the New International Version because I need large print right now. So I don't have an ESV large print. All right, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. And not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. I'll stop there. Okay? Because the treasure of God has been committed to jars of clay, you and I, okay? There is seemingly a defeat on the one hand when these things all come upon us, okay? Yet the scriptures teach that there's a perpetual victory on the other hand, okay? There is victory in these things happening among us. This is what's being taught. There is weakness to all outward appearance, but in reality, there is incomparable strength to be found in these so-called weaknesses that come upon us. We're not crushed. We're often pressed by adversaries, okay? We're often pressed by difficulties, yet we are not completely hindered at all, okay? Not hindered at all. We're not hindered from uttering the message of hope freely, okay? You mentioned we need to be speaking it up. We Christians are way too quiet, in my judgment, in the marketplace. Way too quiet. We need to be talking.
Amen.
We need to be speaking.
Amen.
Okay? We need to be unashamed.
That's right.
And we will get ridicule like you wouldn't believe.
That's right.
Then he says, not in despair, okay? Our Lord Jesus never allowed the Apostle Paul, the great man of God that he was, he never allowed the Apostle Paul to reach a place of despair. And believe me, he went through physical, mental, spiritual suffering like few people have. He was that kind of guy, okay? He was never brought into the narrow place of which there is no escape. We don't read of Paul being that way. He treasured in these things. He treasured in them, okay? My wife, Pam, and Judy, here in our church, Judy Haig, and Linda Holcomb in Atlanta, Georgia, have been on 17 medical mission trips in the last 17, 18 years, all over the world. They've been to Peru, they've been to Haiti, they've been to India, Argentina, Moldova, a little country over by Russia, and Africa too. Okay? Pam went to Liberia 3 times. This is a country, here's Africa, right about here. Okay? It's about the size of the thumb of Michigan. Okay? It is poorer than poor is poor, okay? But among there is a wonderful group of Christians who just rejoice and praise God. It's unbelievable what's going on, the work of God in that country. That country went through a terrible, 5 years before Pam went to her first trip there, they had a terrible civil war for several years. I mean, and she saw evidence, arms cut off, hands cut off, slicing of faces, all this, all the wounds, people living with children, having children that weren't theirs because the father had been killed. I mean, it was an awful thing. And finally, I think I have the number right, 49 beloved Lutheran sisters in Christ had just had enough. And they decided in the capital city of Monrovia, they decided to dress in white and to walk through, and they were about to, they would have been normally killed instantly, and decided to walk through the downtown of Monrovia in white, yelling to God, yelling in a positive way, "Lord, please take Satan out of here. Please take Satan out of here." And guess what? That country saw peace again. And it was started with those 49 beloved sisters about 7 years ago. Let me tell you, folks, He never brings us into a narrow place of which there's no escape.
That's right.
Anybody got an example in their life? Anybody got an example? Huh? I know you can't get better than what I just gave, the Liberia thing. Anybody? All right, verse 9. Let's take a look at this verse. This is a continuation of this whole thought. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Paul could see that he is never forsaken by the Lord, never forsaken, body, soul, and spirit under mighty attack, never forsaken. He could feel the hot breath of the enemy on the back of his neck, okay? But the Lord never abandoned him to his foes. Never did. Not destroyed. Paul was many times wounded in action. We read in Scripture that he probably had bad eyesight, okay? Remember when he said, "You see which large print I'm writing?" He had personally taken over some writing in place of Luke. So on, it would appear that he had very bad eyesight. That didn't stop him. Didn't stop him at all. As a matter of fact, it motivated him even more.
And it ain't going to stop you.
And it ain't going to stop us. You got to bring that up today? I'm just teasing. Yet the Lord raised him up again to go with the glorious news of the gospel. These things motivated him to just live more for Christ. I was reading the writings of an 1800 brother. His name is, he's famous, and I just can't think of his name right now. No, it wasn't Jonathan Edwards, because he was in Massachusetts. This is over in England. Anyway, this man goes out, he preaches the gospel. And somebody was reading his diary in one of the churches a few years ago. And he says, "I went out to the town and I preached the gospel. And I told them about Jesus Christ. They need to repent and turn from their evil ways." You know, this is the way it used to be done. No hesitation. He says, "The people came on me. They hit me. They spit on me. They kicked me. They knocked me down. I didn't know what they were going to do to me. And all of a sudden, I jumped up." Who's the two brothers?
John. Wesley's.
Yeah, one of the Wesleys. He says, "I jumped to my feet, and I said, I'm going to yell a little bit. Jesus! And everybody backed up, he says. This is in his diary. Right. Everybody backed up. And I preached the gospel. And many people were saved that day. Huh? You get it?
Yep.
This guy's not crushed. He's not worried about his life.
No.
He's doing the right thing.
That's right.
And he's not embarrassed to speak the truth. I tell you, I read stories like that. It just enthuses. It just motivates me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be an embarrassment for Jesus Christ. No. Any other thought before we move on? Anything?
A lot of those guys were so serious about the gospel, they said, you don't even have to tie me to the stake. Just burn me and I'll stay right here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can read those stories. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Boy, oh boy. Now, I like this phrase. I like this phrase. Hemmed in. Okay?
I would like to share a
bit. Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead.
There was a time that I lived with my parents for 6 years that are caught into the religious and rituals and Catholicism. And even less than that, worse than that probably. But during that time, I felt like I was just driven to the Bible, read the Word, spend time in the Word for the first, you know. And, you know, like you were saying, God never, he always gives us a way out. I mean, my other options were, you know, people that like to get drunk, like to get high, this, that. This was all going on, people that I knew and still know. But God, he gave us this.
Amen.
Me a way out of it.
Yes.
And I'm still walking that out.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to the book.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Keith Kaner has right at the front door of his house. Read the book. As he walks out there, read the book. Nobody has to know in Keith Kaner's house what book he's talking about.
Yeah. Amen.
The Word of God. I like this phrase. My sister sent me, where's my phone? Who's got an ESV Bible? Psalm 139, verse 5. Could you read that? It applies to this, what I'm looking at right now. Psalm 139, verse 5.
You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Oh, I like that. My sister sent me that a couple weeks ago. You hem me in, okay? To be hemmed in is to be enclosed, is to be confirmed, you know? God had told the Apostle Paul, hey, guess what? You're going on this crazy ship to Rome. You're not going to die.
Right.
He said, you're not going to die. Paul was in a situation where he should have died. But he always knew that promise. I am hemmed in. I am hemmed in. I am not hamstrung. I am hemmed in. I am enclosed by the Lord. Not knowing what to do. Some days I don't even know what to do. People have certain situations. Let's go on a trip to Liberia for a day. But never hopeless.
Right.
Never hopeless. Hunted by men, but never abandoned by God. Often felled, but never finished. This is the life we lead. Ray Dishman, for those of you that haven't been here that long, has been and still is one of the pillars of this assembly. Ray and Rose Dishman. God has put him in just an awful situation of sickness. But to hear his words last week, and by the way, they were said with a nice strong voice. A weak man with a strong voice. When I heard that, it just encouraged me. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting him. Pray for him. Lord, we pray for the Dishmans right now. Dear Ray, I wouldn't even want to think if I could handle what he has handled. But I pray that you would give him strength and that you would heal his body, and may peace reign, as David just said. Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
To piggyback on my wife's comment.
Yes.
I had a guy I was training this week, and we were riding together. Everything was good. How's the family, this and that? when we started to talk about the Word of God, when we started to talk about the gospel message, that's when things started to get a little bit rocky. he is involved in, he says, I play guitar at my church. Oh, yeah, what church are you at? He says, Holy Redeemer. He lives in Mexican Village. That's fine. But we started talking about things. I started talking about Catholicism. I says, one time I was working at a Catholic church in Troy, and I had one-on-one time with the Monsignor. And I asked the Monsignor, he says, can I ask you a question? He says, sure, inviting me. I says, okay. I says, well, how do you justify the Council of Trent? He said, how do you know about that? And I said, I know a lot of things, but we're not going to go there. How can you adhere to a Marian doctrine for 1,600 years, which is not based on Scripture? And he started talking to me. He says, in Catholicism, tradition and rituals are equal with Scripture. I said, where do you get that in the Bible?
You don't.
So after I told this to this young gentleman, who was a father of four, our conversation started to break down. He says, can we just now worry about work and not talk about Scripture? So that, since then, my relationship with him has changed forever. But my confession will remain the same. I'll tell the truth.
Right.
It's hard to minister to those that are religious.
Right.
Yes.
So hard.
Yeah. And the opportunity will come, possibly.
Yeah.
When he's in a hard place.
Yeah.
You know? When he's in a hard place.
Right on.
I remember I had testified many times to a guy who wanted nothing to do with Christ. He had a terrible accident occur, multi-broken bones. You know what? I was the only guy from work that visited him.
Praise the Lord.
And he cried when I walked. Well, he cried when I walked in the door. And I told him about Jesus Christ again. He was very open to it at that moment. He never trusted Christ, but I felt the Lord gave me that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just watch. All right. You with me? Go ahead.
You know, just kind of off of Daniel's comments, you know, so I do come out of a Catholic background, and much like somebody who's Muslim or somebody who is Jewish, a lot of times, not only are you Catholic, but that's your whole family. That's your whole culture.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of instances, if you choose to become, if you choose to abandon the Catholic Church, I mean, there's a lot of times a cutting off of ties with the family.
Sure.
So much like people who are Muslim have to risk with it, that maybe isn't quite as severe like you're going to be killed, but that still happens, and you know that is a pressure.
Yes.
For people.
Absolutely.
You know, they have to realize that they have to face their mom, their dad, and their wife, and all their relatives, and so it sometimes can be challenging.
Yeah, it sure can. Someone else, go ahead.
Everybody's religious. Everybody is. They got something they believe, and they use that as a basis.
Right.
People that are atheists, they believe there is no God.
Right.
That is their premise.
Science.
Yeah. I wish it was science. Even before, like it says, the all creation speaks forth the glory of God. It doesn't just happen. And that's a thing. I mean, everybody's religious, and when you attack some of their fundamental beliefs, I mean, you attack the fundamental belief of evolution, anything.
Yep.
Muslim, anything, you know.
Yep.
You attack that, I mean, or you just say something against that, they will either kind of push you away, shut down, or, you know, I mean, unless God changes the heart.
Yeah.
Because that's what it takes, because we can't change the heart. God can. Yeah. And that's what we have to pray for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, what's our clock say there, Trace?
About 12 minutes.
Oh, we got lots of time. You would think that if God had let the Apostle Paul have no suffering whatsoever, he could have done a much better job than he did in his lifetime. Wouldn't you think so? The Scriptures teach the exact opposite.
Exactly.
What? Yeah. The Scriptures teach the exact opposite. God sees fit to allow his servant to be touched by sickness, sorrow, affliction, persecution, difficulties, and distresses. I told you a couple weeks ago, and I mean this. The times in my personal Christian life that I've been closest to God is when I've been close to going to see God.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
For me, a year ago. Okay? It is.
Come on.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
Then you really find out what you believe.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That's how it works.
Very true.
So, I just want to mention that. All these things are designed to break these earthen pitchers, these jars of clay, so that the light of, and he says, so that the light of the gospel will shine out more clearly.
That's it.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the whole design of this thing. Go ahead, Trace.
Well, I shared a while back, you know, when I went through my divorce, it was probably one of the most difficult times I've ever had in my entire life. And yeah, I wouldn't change it for anything.
Yeah.
Because that time was when I learned.
Yeah.
I knew that my God was going to protect me and help me, encourage me, and gave me the hope when I felt there was none. And I can totally see that if I hadn't had that experience, I would be nowhere near where I am
right
in my walk with the Lord right now.
Can you relate to what Trace just said? Huh?
Absolutely.
Not that we go seeking these things, but as they come, he gives us grace to get through. Okay? Let's go to verse 10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Okay? You ready? The life of the servant is one of daily dying. We've been called to die daily for the sake of Jesus Christ. Jesus was exposed to constant violence, attempts on his life, persecutions. Many terrible things could have occurred, okay? It is not the way of defeat. It is the way of victory. It is the way of victory. Blessing comes to others as we die daily. That's how it works. Okay? Blessings come to others as we die daily. How can this world see the life of Christ when he's not physically present in the world today? He's not, Jesus isn't walking around. Okay? How's it done? Well, I'd like to give you one answer. Found here. The answer is that we as Christians suffer in the service of the Lord. Okay? His life is manifest in our body. What a wonderful truth.
Amen.
Okay? Every day we're to die to the things of this world so that we can live for Christ, shine for Him, and see many people come to Christ. Like that dear brother in Scotland. Go ahead. Somebody had a comment.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Dave, you're next. John MacArthur. He had a Bible. So I was listening to it actually this morning where he talked about the suffering. It's, it, as we are obedient to God's word, we are going to be, we're going against the grain of what's happening in this world. And you don't have to look for, suffering. You don't have to look for these things, challenges. They'll come your way by confessing Christ, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, as we wash ourselves in the Word daily, and we are constantly washing ourselves in the Word, as these trials and speed bumps happen, our natural reflex is going to be the outpouring of God's mind through His Word.
Amen.
And our actions. And that's how we show the light of Christ to a lost and dying world. It should be a natural response.
Amen. That's how it works, folks.
Yeah.
David?
Colossians 1:24 says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is the church." So, wait a minute. That sounds strange. What's lacking in Christ? Absolutely nothing. But the context of this statement says, in order to show this world, we need to have these afflictions on display because that's what Christ suffered for us.
Yes.
So unless you understand the context of the verse and the meaning behind it, it can be confusing. There was nothing lacking in Christ, except when he died, the afflictions that he suffered are gone, but we're the church, we're his body, we're still suffering.
Yes, amen.
You know, like it says, Christ was perfected through the things. Now, if you take a look at it, Christ was perfect.
Yes.
Okay, but through the things he suffered, he became the perfect
sacrifice.
It was manifest.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He became the
perfect. Amen.
In order for, he had to die the death that we couldn't die, and he had to live the life, and he had to suffer for sin, and so he became the perfect Savior by his suffering.
Yeah.
But he's already perfected because in perfect he was God.
Amen.
And we as fallen creatures, sometimes we need suffering to perfect us.
That's right. That's it. Yeah.
By the way, I give a lot of illustrations from my life because, I don't know, I think I like to hear stories of people's life, what's going on in their lives. I want you to know, in my workaday world, I don't want you to think that I walked around causing trouble every day at work. Because it might sound that way. I did not.
Right.
I would say 99% of my career was extremely peaceful, cooperative, working with people. You know, I don't know what year it was. Thomas Jefferson was still president. In 19 whatever, I'm about, I don't know, 45 years old, and I was a vice president, whatever that might mean, at Standard Federal Bank, and there were 42 vice presidents, if I recall. Anyway, everybody had to give to a charity, to a certain charity, 100%. If the president of the bank could get 100% adherence to it, every single officer would do it. There were 42 officers, I'm sorry. There was about a half dozen vice presidents. Anyway, he would get a special award. I mean, like huge plaques. This meant a lot. You all know about this in the business world? Okay. Well, I found out that the thing we were going to give to was partially to support abortion.
Right. UN, probably.
So I'm in, you know? And I raised my hand in the meeting, and you know, I reported to this man, Tom Ricketts. And I said, "Mr. Ricketts, I certainly respect you. I have you in the highest acclaim, but I cannot give one dime to that charity."
Praise
I'm the only guy in the room
right.
saying this.
Right.
Guess what? Guess what? Are you ready?
You got it.
They changed the charity.
Oh, praise the Lord.
They changed the charity.
Praise the Lord.
I didn't do it in a mean-spirited way. I did it in a very humble, tried to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But they changed the charity,
good.
And we didn't give to abortion.
Right.
So I don't want you to think I'm just a troublemaker every day. You know, you might get that idea. We're going to quit here, but that's true. That's a true story. I feel like it was like United Fund or something. I don't know. It was some basic name.
Yeah.
I was shocked they're going to give to abortion. Final comments, guys. What do we got? 1 minute? Go ahead, Trace.
Just the idea that, you know, Christ did, you know, when he had...
Yeah.
What did he do?
He what?
He prayed to
the
Father. He went and prayed to the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the... That's number two.
Amen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, one thing you said right there, you said in your testimony, you use the word humble, and the humility matters, and our dependency on him matters. That's why when we're in our situations in life where we got no place to turn and we're being buffeted, we fall down and we ask, Lord, I can't do this. I need your help.
Yeah.
We need more of that every day.
Amen.
You know, the reliance on him and the dependency on his word.
Yeah. Amen. Some of you are facing a great hardship. I've been vaccinated. I don't even think twice about it. Some of you are going to lose your jobs here in the next couple months because you're not going to be vaccinated. They're going to make it. This has nothing to do with spiritual stuff. This has to do with choices. You've got to make that choice. That'll be a tough one for you.
It's spiritual.
Okay, I got a lot. Yeah, it is spiritual when you really analyze it. So I know it's coming. It's here. It's arrived. So, all right. Is that it? Father, we thank you for your word. We only got halfway through what I had planned to say today, but that's all right. We got next week, Lord willing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the illustrations that are given through our great Apostle Paul. And help us, Lord, to be bold for you. And as these sicknesses and things come upon us, may we not fall into despair, but we might just trust you and let you lead our lives. Praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.